Today's guest is Miss Skittles. I love chatting with her. Miss Skittles is often dubbed the Kris Jenner of marketing, is a highly sought after marketing maven based in Atlanta. Known for her ability to conceive and execute campaigns and strategies that elevate brand recognition and drive substantial sales, with over a decade of experience, Miss Skittles has proven herself a marketing powerhouse, steering her own fashion brand, Cupcake Mafia, from $300 investment in 2011 to a $2.4 million business in just 4 years. However, success was met with adversity when she had an acquisition gone wrong, led to financial challenges forcing Miss Skittles to sleep on an air mattress. Undeteriorated, she leveraged her expansive network and marketing expertise to regain control of her company. Her entrepreneurial journey is marked by ups and downs, and it showcases her ability to engage audiences and translate attention into sales. In this episode, we go into so many great things, from her journey of how she was able to turn a small $300 investment into $2.4 million business, how she was able to create her designs, what happened to cause her to lose her company, how she was able to get her company back. We go into marketing, branding, and so much more. So excited for you guys to hear this episode. Let's get started.
Thank you so much, Ms. Skittles, for joining me today. I'm really looking forward to getting to know you. Love to start. Tell me about your 20s. And then one, like, defying shit show moment for you. That was a really big growth opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. So in my 20s, I decided to start this crazy thing and be an entrepreneur, right? Like, who hops out of college? So honestly, my life was very entrepreneurial. I started off as a music artist really young. And then from that music career, it was like a wild ride of different moments in my teens and in my 20s. But I started my first company, Cupcake Mafia, which was a clothing brand. I started it with $300 fresh my first year out of college. And I didn't know what I actually was doing. I just seen another brand that I loved. And that brand all of a sudden decided to shut down and wanted to only make swimsuits. And I was like, oh my God, there's so much need for expressive apparel. And there was only one brand creating this type of apparel. So I wanted to just jump into that lane. And I was so scared. Only, you know, using $300 to create some t-shirts and my logo and my first two designs, I was like so scared, but I did it. And in 4 years, that company turned to a $4 million company and was sold everywhere. We actually got a $1.4 million purchase order from Forever 21. But I will tell you the first wild ride that I experienced when it came to my 20s was my first trade show. When I really didn't even know what I was doing, I just knew that people go to these trade shows so other brands and other stores or retail stores could find them. And so I didn't even have the money. It was called Magic Trade Show. I think it was like $10,000 to have a booth there. And so I found this guy who had a small brand too, and I asked him, like, hey, do you want to share a booth? Our brands are very similar. We sell streetwear and you sell ready-to-wear, but it attracts the same audience. And so we tried that, and Lord, when I tell you, it was not the best idea, because the buyers that are coming into the booth, they may want this brand and not my brand. And although we're like trying to sell them together, and it was just a hot mess, honestly. But I actually met my husband at that trade show. The first time showcasing at that show, I ended up meeting my husband, who now we've been together 11 years. I also met amazing retailers that I did hundreds of thousands of dollars with at that trade show. So sometimes for the person that's listening, that's in their 20s right now, and they're like, where do I even start? Just start. Like, I started with $300, two t-shirts. One of the t-shirts said, men are like parking spots. The good ones are taken and the free ones are handicapped. So it was literally how I felt at that time. And literally, I built a multi-million-dollar company off of shirts that expressed how I felt in that very moment. So, you know, whatever you're thinking, like, oh my God, take chances. This is your 20s. Like, you can literally, in your 30s, you can act like you never did any of this stuff. Okay, so take chances, take your biggest risk, and it will turn out to be your biggest reward.
I love that. And I'm curious, what was the second design? And like, how do you come up with these designs? Like, I'm curious, like, your process of how you know someone's going to want to buy this.
Yeah, so my second design said, too many bakers, not enough cake. And it was just like from the idea of Cupcake Mafia, meaning there's too many people that are like baking ideas, but not enough people making the money, you know? So like, that was kind of like my second idea. And honestly, I've always had a way with words from being a music artist. So like, you know, if you're a music artist, you're a rapper, you have to have a way to be lyrical and express yourself. You can't just say, hi guys, you know, I'm going to create a song. Like, you have to actually have a way and a flow that you operate. And so I think that just me having a way with words, I just turned that into merchandise. And, you know, it was it.
And did you, like, test it at all? Like, did you, like, go up to people and see if they like it? Or did you just, like, you were just set on it and just went directly, like, to the trade show from there?
Yeah, so no, definitely I started on Facebook. So when I decided to launch the clothes, I put them on Facebook. I put my little six designs on Facebook. And I allowed my audience to choose. And I think nowadays people launch businesses without allowing getting their audience involved. And letting them know, like, this is a great idea. This is not a great idea. Or, oh my God, I love this shirt. And the more that your audience is involved in the cultivating of your company, the more that they will spend their money. Because they will now feel like, oh my God, I picked that shirt. Or I helped them design this. Or I helped them create this concept. And so this is how I created such a cool audience. With my clothing line is I let them know, hey, once we sell out of this particular design in this particular color, it's never coming back again. So not only did you help me choose the design, not only did you tell me where the placement on the shirt should be, once this item is here, you guys are going to be the lucky 50 that get this particular design. And so I use that in everything that I do still to this day, is getting feedback from my audience, creating focus groups, and really trying to figure out, like, what do you guys want? What do you guys want to see from my brand? And really using that audience feedback and understanding that, like, your customers, they are your boss. You're not the boss. Like, your customers are your boss. When they stop spending their money with you, then you won't have a business. So your customers are your boss. So really listen to your customers and understand what they want. They told me where that we should do pop-ups. They told me what cities I should go to. They told me what stores they wanted to be in. They introduced me to retailers that I never would have heard of. I've never been to Boston, right? And they said, oh, we have this really cool sneaker shop in Boston. Your brand needs to be there. And so from that introduction, I was able to take a screenshot of that particular customer introducing me to this store and say, hey, my customer Megan said that your store is amazing and my brand is to be in it. I'm sure that there are 2,000 more Megans in your city. And now I'm in Boston, you know, and I've never been there. So yeah, definitely listening to your customers is so important.
And I'm curious, what did you do from there? What was the next business?
Yeah, so, okay, it was a long journey with the retail business. After we got the $1.4 million purchase order from Forever 21, we then had to pivot because I needed to be able to produce mass production, and I wasn't. I was producing in LA. I was producing in small mom-and-pop shops in Atlanta. And so it caused me to sign a really bad deal. I, in my mind, was 20. So in my 20s, and I was just like, listen, if this deal goes bad, it's fine. I have millions of other ideas inside of my head. It'll be okay. It was how I thought until it wasn't okay, right? So 6 months after signing that deal, I got fired from my own company, and it led me on an airbed above my retail store trying to figure it all out. And I had bought my retail store out of the deal literally like 3 months before getting fired. And I felt like that was a moment in time that I was, okay, girl, you have to put your big girl underwears on. And you have to really either fight for your business or you have to give up. And I remember, and I tell this story all the time, because I think that in your 20s, it's so important to have people around you that will pour into you when you're empty. And at the moment of like my emptiness, I called one of my friends who has sold one of her businesses. And I was like, hey friend, I need you to look over my resume because like, I don't have that much work history. Like I worked at the fair. I worked at a retail store and I worked at another retail store. Like, I don't have that much work history. I need you to like pipe up my resume. And she started to look at it. And then by the end of the call, she was like, listen, you built a multi-million dollar business. build another one. Here's your skills. I'm going to pull out your skill set. Figure out how you can do it again in the same type of business. I'm sure people will hire you for this or pay you for this. Don't go to work a 9-to-5, because I was literally applying at Best Buy, right? And I had a retail store that I was literally living above, and I kind of was just giving up because I was like, I can't do this. I'm a failure because that experience. And she's like, build another one. So having people that will pour into you and remind you of how amazing you are is so important. So in that moment, I started to think about all that I could do and all that have asked me to do things that I just was like, oh, I don't do that. I have a retail business. I don't do that. I own a clothing brand. Like, I don't do that. And one of the things was marketing and branding. And I remember as I bought my company back, the one of the retailers had asked me to create a marketing company because they had a really large, over a million dollar contract that they could sign to me if I had a marketing agency. But I was like, I don't have a marketing agency. I just have this retail brand that I'm trying to get revitalized. And the lady like cared about me. She stepped out of her office and was like, listen, create a marketing agency. I have this contract. This could be the money that you need to build your brand back. Like, hello, wake up. Okay. I'm like, oh, okay. And this is also why you need to have people that believe in you. Cause sometimes you don't even believe in your own self. You don't believe in your own skills, you know? And so she was like, create a marketing agency. I sat with my designer and photographer who still works with me to this day. And we were like, okay, we're going to create from Cupcake Mafia. We're going to create the Icing Agency, which is our marketing and branding firm. And we'll help brands grow in the streetwear space because that's kind of what I felt like I knew. And I got that contract. That contract allowed me to buy my company back. And then that's now my marketing agency. And in 2020, my company did $16 million. And so, yeah, like it's been a journey.
That's awesome. And I love like this cupcake theme that keeps coming back up.
All of my companies, except one, all of my companies have the same cupcake theme. So it started with Cupcake Mafia. Now we have our marketing agency, which is the Icing Agency. And now I have the largest female-focused co-working space, which is called The Bakery. So everything is around icing and baking and, you know, our motto is dreams are made here.
That's great. And I'm curious, like, going back, like, why do you want to buy your company back?
So honestly, okay, when I lost my company and when I got fired from my company, I started to do a lot of research because sometimes we need a relatable story that we can identify, like, what did they do after this happened to them? And like, none of my friends have been fired from their company. They've been fired from jobs. It's not the same thing. Like, you didn't build it up. You didn't build this multi-million dollar company and make all these sacrifices. So no one could give me the information. So the only person that I could literally visit their story and like study their story was Steve Jobs. And so I like read the story and I'm like studying the story and I realized that they end up hiring him back. Well, the partners that I had in this particular company were not interested in hiring me back. So I'm like, okay, I can't look at Steve Jobs' story as a story that relates to me because the infrastructure was different. Like, the way that I signed my company was to a distribution company. So they basically, it's like a record label for clothing brands. So they sign great talent that have great brands and they put you in this hub, like a music label. There's other artists on the label that also have great music, that also have great talent, right? And then they push you out to all of these retail stores. And they push you out to all of these trade shows. So that's what it was. It's not like raising capital and then you have investors. Like, it's not like that. It's like this one company gives you a signing bonus and then they put you on salary in your company and you're a B member on the board. So it's a little bit different from traditional investment and traditional raising of capital. It's someone that sees potential in you. They're like, I believe in you. I love this brand. Or maybe they don't believe in you. They believe in the brand or they believe in what the brand is doing in the market. And they sign you. They give you money up front. And now they own a part of your company. And that's kind of how it works. And so for me, it was, I have to take my power back. Because this was literally the only thing that I felt like I had done successful in my life, which was to create this clothing company. And I just didn't feel like I wanted it to be in the hands of people that didn't love it the way that I did. So I knew that I either was going to have to buy it back or I was going to have to ruin it so that it wasn't left in the hands of bad people. And I did it when I wanted, because I felt like this is my life. This is my life. This is what people know me for. And so I ended up, I was able to negotiate with them after a long, whole marketing campaign thing. But I was ended up able to buy my company back. And then directly after that, to China, because I didn't want to ever have a situation where I needed large manufacturing for the brand again. And I had to sign another bad deal. So I went to China and I partnered with a guy in China. And we created our own factory for not only me, my brand, but other people that wanted to create low minimum production in China. And yeah, girl, it's been crazy.
Going through like these bad deals, do you feel like there's any way to figure out like it's a bad deal before you go into it? And like, how do you have like the mindset of like going from a bad deal of like, oh, this next deal is going to be great? I'm curious about your process there.
Yeah, definitely. So I think the first thing is, if I could be 100% honest, I knew it was a bad deal from the start, right? However, so there was like 10 people that told me this company was the worst. But there was like one person who I also was really close to who told me it was the best. And I want you to think about advice like this. You have to look at the person deeply that is giving you the advice, that's saying, yes, do this, right? The person that gave me the advice was my friend, was someone that I knew that was literally homeless before signing to this company, right? Like he was almost homeless. So how they changed his life is different from where I am. Like, I have a condo, I drive a G-Wagon, I built a multi-million-dollar brand. So it's like giving a sandwich to a homeless person and giving a sandwich to Jeff Bezos, right? The sandwich is going to be different. The homeless person is going to take the sandwich and the advice and the experience much different than Jeff Bezos, right? And not saying that I was Jeff Bezos, I'm just saying that I was in a different place of my life and I should have taken the information differently. Yes, they got him in Forever 21, but they also took his brand. They also took his likeness. They also took his name. He could never use his name. You know, he can never make that product again. Like, I should have looked at it from a different lens. As the people that were telling me, like, this is a bad company. This is, you know, all these things. It was so many red flags from the beginning. I just see the green dollar sign at the end that was like, well, I'm struggling right now to hold this business together. And Forever 21 wants this much product and I can never produce it. And these people are taking a shot at me. So how I would look at one, I would never let a company hire a lawyer for me. That is 100% red flag, right? My lawyer wasn't available and they just like was like, it's okay, we got it, we'll hire a lawyer for you. And that was a red flag. I should have stuck with my guns and said, hey, if this deal is that important to you, I will bring my lawyer on and we'll fight it to the end together. And I could have told Forever 21 to hold up. Because guess what? They never end up getting my product anyway, because the deal and the company went south before we even were able to ship the product to them. So if I would have just told them to hold on, I would have waited to get my lawyer involved, I probably would have had a better deal. I probably wouldn't have been a B member on a board that A members have all voting rights and that they could vote me off. And that's what allowed me to be fired, right? So moving into the next deal, I kind of was like, how I've already been kicked and dumped on the side of the road. How bad could it get by going to China and signing this other deal, right? I did get my lawyer involved this time. And I am the type of person now that you cannot have me come to your birthday party without looking at everything in the deal memo. Like, so I'm just I'm much more conscious. I also have like a legal team on board now in all my decision making. So yeah, but I feel like you have to trust your gut mostly. And you have to understand, like, okay, I want to sit at this table, but am I being poisoned? Like, is the food at this table actually here to nurture me, or are they here to poison me, right? And like, I kind of knew from the beginning that this might could be poison, but I just was so big on like, it could be poison, but I built myself up so strong that this poison isn't going to affect me that much, you know? So I think we just have to have a little bit more discernment in our decision making and understand that like, this is a life or death situation, you know? And I remember it like no other when I was talking to my husband about it when I got fired from my company and I was living on the airbed, and I was like, he was my boyfriend then, and I was like, they tricked me, they did this, they literally stole my company. And he's like, babe, they didn't steal your company, like, you signed for it and you're only as good as what you negotiate. And I was like, are you with me? Like, are you? And but it was the truth. Like, we had the conversation of was it the decision that I wanted to make, and I chose to sign my name on the line for this. So yeah, I think it's a lot of discernment, a lot of trusting yourself, your good in God, and having a good legal team as well.
I love that your boyfriend could be so honest with you at that time, because we need that.
He was so honest, and in that moment really changed my life on how I think about the decisions that I make. And it made me a more accountable person, because now I'm like, oh, I got to live with this guy. And everywhere I go, if my side of the story is they scammed me or they tricked me or they did this or they did that, and really I knew what it was. And I chose not to dive deeper in looking through the contract and dive deeper in asking the questions and dive deeper, because my end goal was pharmacy one. So I didn't want to hear about the poisonous things that were outside of that deal, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, when you're on the airbed, like, I feel like that's such a big change, you know, from where you were before to be on the airbed, have everything taken away from you kind of instantly in a way. How do you like rebuild yourself in terms of like being okay with that current situation, but knowing that like you could go back like immediately to where you were before? I'm curious, like, how you are able to like keep yourself on track.
Yeah. Honestly, I think for me, most people call me like the woman of pivot, right? Like, I'm so quick to pivot, and it's like a power that I have. Like, I always say I have the power of pivot. And why I have that power is because if you are so stuck, imagine when we were all on MySpace, right? Well, maybe not you, because you're probably too young for those days, but when we were over MySpace, that was it for us. Like, we learned coding. We knew how to add our top friends. We had backgrounds. We had songs on our pages. Like, that was it for us. And immediately, within a blink of an eye, everybody was on Facebook. And there was no MySpace. And then from there, it was so many other platforms. And now it's Instagram and TikTok and Pinterest and all of these different ways that we get stuck on, oh my God, I have to go into Blockbuster to get a movie to watch on Friday, then we'll miss the wave of Netflix, right? We'll miss that wave, and you'll lose your whole identity being stuck on one particular platform. So I think that we all as individuals have to be okay with and understanding when it's time to pivot and how we're going to pivot out of that. And like, we can't just sit in our lives and be a sinking sand. So for me, it was like this airbed, I actually, as much as my marketing agency started to make, I could have easily gotten off the airbed, but I had a goal to, one, buy my company back so that I can show those men that as a minority girl under 30, you are not the owner of me. You are not, I am my power, right? Like, so even if I did nothing with the company, I just wanted to show them that you don't play with us, right? Like, you don't play with women, period. Like, you don't play with us. And so there was no one else that had ever fought for their company back. There's no one else that had ever purchased their company back from this particular business. And so I just wanted to show them, like, they messed with the wrong person, right? And then in regards to, like, being on the airbed, it brought a different level of humility, of ability, of grit. And I felt like if I had an apartment or if I had a condo, I would just wake up every day and like, oh, everything is great and it's fine, like this comfortable bed. Like, my air bed was deflating every night. I had to get up, I had to hustle, I had to grind, I had to find myself. I had to grind, I had to find myself, I had to rebuild myself all over again. So this was not the time to be all glitz and glamorous. This was the time to really figure out myself and figure out the next level of who I could potentially become. And so it's super important for me to develop that and really have this new wave, you know, and really rebuild myself. And so that's what I did. Like, I rebuilt it, and I rebuilt it from that airbed. I started my marketing agency. I started managing a talent that ended up becoming huge, and it was everywhere. And, you know, eventually after that 6 months, once I started to own my factory in China, my husband bought us a home and all of the things life started to really happen and look back up. But I think if there's someone listening right now that is like at the lowest point of your life, use this as motivation. Use this as inspiration and don't use it as shame, right? Don't use this as a moment of shame where you're feeling like, oh God, I'm never going to make it through this. I always look back and like, what was the darkest time that I had in my life? I think one of the darkest times before that was losing my sister, right? Like that was a really dark time. My sister committed suicide in high school and that was a really, really dark time in my life. And I think that it's so important for us to remember the darkest times and how we made it through that. Like if you made it through one dark time, you can make it through another one. And that's kind of what I put my focus on. Like once I get off this airbed and I tell this story of how I made it, like with employees working in a retail store and I woke up before them, sat in my car until they came to work. And then they were like, oh, how are you here? I'm like, oh, I'm here to check on you. I'm just overviewing the store. They didn't even realize like I was asleep. I made breakfast in that kitchen above the retail store before y'all walked. I Febreze the building. And even when they left, I would go and sit in my car. I would go and drive to Chick-fil-A and then wait until they closed the store to come back to sleep at night. Like that type of grit, that type of resilience, it doesn't come from a book. It doesn't come from a TikTok motivational message. It comes from really wanting it better than anyone else. And so for me, I knew that I was going to be successful after that. I knew that a $4 million company wasn't all that I had in me. And God knew. And look at me, you know, in 2020, my company did $16 million. And again, when I was on the airbed, I could only think of like, if I could just get back to $4 million, that's what I did previous to going through all of this. And look at, you know, all of those things built even something even bigger.
That is so powerful. And I love how you like found a way to create this opportunity out of the airbed and be like, this is great because like I'm going to wake up sooner. I'm going to accomplish more. Like I'm going to be able to get out of this faster. Like that's such a beautiful way to see that. And we all have like a different version of like this airbed in our life that we either deal with or like in the future. So that's incredible. And I'm curious, like, what do you think, like, with, like, Cupcake Mafia, with all your companies that you're doing right now, what do you think really makes them stand out? Like, what do you do with your branding that you're like, I have, like, these different steps and, like, these different things I have to do to make sure, like, this is a really great brand?
Of course, yeah. So one thing about me is I know how to brand, right? If I don't know how to do anything else, I know how to brand and I know how to market myself. And I think that if anybody can create any skill, right? Like if they could study anything in school, it would be branding and marketing and sales, right? Those three things, you literally don't, I don't want to say you don't need anything else, but if you have branding, marketing, and sales, you can do anything. I mean, I've studied companies like Pet Rocks, right? Pet Rocks built a multi-million-dollar company selling parents rocks in a box, right? Literally rocks in a box, and they named the company Pet Rocks. Why? Because the average busy parent doesn't want a pet, but the kids want pets. And they sold these boxes for $4, literally rocks from the ground. And they named it a Pet Rocks and they created a branding and marketing campaign that made kids feel like when I got my rock, I'm going to name them. They're going to be our pets. And the parents were fine because they were like, as long as they don't bark, they don't poop on my floor, I don't have to walk them, I don't have to feed them. Great. Let me buy this $4 gift for my kids. It was created this owner, the owner of Pet Rocks, a multimillionaire, right? There's so many inventions that have came out that we're literally like, why do I have a Snuggie again? Why do I have like a blanket that's sewed at the end that I can literally put my feet in? But it's a multi-million-dollar company because of the branding and marketing that comes with it. So Cupcake Mafia, the first thing is, who's putting on a t-shirt, men are like parking spots, the good ones are taken in, the free ones are handicapped, right? But how many women believe that is true? How many single women across America believe that that exact statement is true? And they're like, you know what? I mean, I say it out of my mouth, but I will absolutely wear it on the t-shirt, right? The second thing is, one day I was walking into Walmart, and I noticed that the aisle that I was in smelled like vanilla. And I was like, it smells so good right here. It smells like cupcakes. What is this? Because I'm in this fragrance aisle, but I don't know what it is. And I found this spray that you spray around your home. And it was like a cupcake spray. And it was literally vanilla cupcake. That was the name of the spray. And I used it. I bought a bunch of them to spray my office because I was in a co-working space, a very small co-working space, but I wanted, when they walked past my office, I wanted them to be like, wait, does she bake cupcakes? Like, how does her office smell like cupcakes? And what I didn't realize is that because I sprayed that spray so much for the people that were in my office, guess what? The people that were getting the shirts were sending me messages saying, when I opened the package, this Cupcake Mafia shirt smelled like cupcakes, right? And my retailers that were getting my shirts, they were saying, hey, when I get your orders, people keep walking in my store saying, what is that cupcake smell? What is that cupcake smell? And that's branding. That's marketing. And it was unintentional. I literally was just like, I want the people in my office to always have this vanilla cupcake scent. But it transferred onto my shirt, which then went to the homes of customers, which then went to retail stores. And then now the shirts smell like cupcakes. And so now I went to Walmart and bought so many that I was spraying all these shirts and was like, hey, this is our now branded scent, that you will get a freshly baked t-shirt. You will get a freshly baked cupcake when you get our t-shirt. So that's branding, right? But with our branding being so amazing and that the scent was so amazing that they loved it, guess what? It transferred into our marketing. Because now when you're wearing the shirt and your friend is like, why do you smell like cupcakes, girl? You're like, oh, I'm wearing my new cupcake t-shirt. And so now it transferred into our marketing. So when you think about what you're doing, I didn't just create a co-working space. I created the largest pink female-focused co-working space, because when people take pictures, they're like, where is that pink space? Oh, I'm at the bakery. Oh, why is it called the bakery? Girl, because dreams are baked here. So like, to me, you have to sit down and really figure out what is the problem that you're trying to solve in your audience, and how do you create a concept or a brand to where they will sell it for you. I've never invested in ads with Cupcake Mafia. I've never invested in ads within ICBC. I've never invested in ads within the bakery. Why? Because my audience sells it for me, and I save money. Like, so if you can create a concept or a brand that will sell itself, if you create a concept or a brand that the customer is so in love or tied into the company, then your customers are going to tell way more people about your business than you can even tell them.
I'm just like thinking about opening a box and it's smelling like cupcakes. Like, what a beautiful, like, tiny detail, but it makes a difference, right? Because then we think about cupcakes, then we think of how sweet it is, then we associate how sweet it is with your brand. Oh, I need to buy another shirt.
I also want to say this point about branding. You've never walked into a pink Target. You've never walked into a purple McDonald's. You never walked into a red Walmart, right? Because you can even see a cart rolling down the side of the road, and you see a blue cart, and you automatically think, that's a Walmart cart. Where is the nearest Walmart, right? You can pass a red and yellow McDonald's before the McDonald's even has the arch up, and you automatically know that that's a McDonald's. I can show you anything. I can show you a check mark on a pair of shoes, and you automatically think that they're Nike, right? Because these companies are multi-million dollar, billion dollar companies because of their branding and marketing. You don't think that the owner of McDonald's Chick-fil-A is like, you know what? We would love a pink Chick-fil-A. No, they know that from miles down the street, when you see a Chick-fil-A logo, it's going to be red. It's going to be the same exact font. Their merchandise is the same font. Their packaging is the same font. But we as individual creators, we wake up and we're like, you know what? One day I'm going to post a purple quote on my page. The next day I'm going to post a green quote. When I show up to a speaking engagement, I'm going to be in blue. And that's why none of your customers can ever understand or identify your product from the rest of the competitors, is because we don't even see your brand colors. We don't even know your brand fonts. We don't understand your brand messaging. One day you're screaming at us. One day you're speaking softly. What is your brand trying to tell us? Like, please, as a individual entrepreneur, whatever you do, before you go and get the logo and go get the copy, figure out what your brand voice is. Figure out what your brand colors mean. I've walked into a spa and it was black. I'm like, well, this doesn't make me feel serene and like soft. Like, why isn't it blue? Why isn't it green? That person didn't understand their brand color. Their favorite color was black. And they were like, I'm making my spa black. Well, guess what? I'm never coming back, because black is not a color of peace. Black is not a color of serenity. It's not giving me a calming vibe when you see black. It's giving me a like punch in the face, like edgy rock star vibe, right? And so like, do we even understand what our branding means for our own companies before we have our customers in the streets trying to tell them what they think of this company.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, how much of it is, like, the product versus, like, the branding and marketing? Like, do you think you could just have any product, like, not even a good product, but, like, the branding and marketing will sell it? Or what's your thoughts there?
A million percent. Look at those bras that were going viral last year. Like, a sticky bra, and you pull the string in the middle. How many people bought those bras? Those bras did not work. They did not work. They were not. If it was a great product, it would still be trending today, right? People would still be popping up saying, like, guys, I don't know what happened to this bra, but, like, this is the best bra invention ever. It wasn't. It was just a great idea, but they hired influencers. They built the branding up. They literally was like, any size boobs can endure this bra. Like, it was the branding and marketing that made that company successful, right? But then there are really amazing companies where the branding and marketing also sticks, right? Like, how many of us could say that McDonald's has the best tasting burger in the United States? Like, it is savory. Oh my God, I just think about it. And like, not many people would say that, right? But their branding and marketing, they know exactly who they're targeting. Someone that wants to get a low cost meal, and it doesn't have to taste like the most amazing savory burger ever, but it's a low cost meal. It's a burger, it's a fries, and it's going to be digestible and it's easy to access, right? So they know their audience. So it doesn't have to be, I can literally market any product. Give me a trash bag, and I can turn it into a multi-million dollar company, right? Like, give me a, literally, you know what? Here's a trash bag right here. Okay. So this trash bag that we have right here, we're going to call this the she bag, right? Because think about, as a female entrepreneur, how many letters that you've written to yourself that you need to throw away, right? Like, you got to get rid of those bad perceptions of yourself. You have to throw those away. So this is going to be the she bag, right? And all of our bags are clear, because I want you to look into things that you have to throw away and really remember why you threw that thing away, right? Like, brand it as a whole. And not every female entrepreneur has the she bag in her office, because she's like, these bills, I'm throwing them away because I'm better than these bills, right? Like, so it can literally, you can brand and market it anything. I'm going to move this stretch. But you can literally brand and market anything. Now, the world, right? Like, a normal trash bag, but there's a trash bag for female entrepreneurs. There's not trash bag for mom. There's not trash bag. I can't even say, oh, the mom bag, right? You can count how many diapers. So now you can calculate how many diapers you need to be purchasing month by month. You can put it on subscription so you can save money. Like, you can go on and on and on. If you understand who you're targeting, the pain points of that consumer, what they actually love, what your brand colors represent. I love this.
I love that you just pick up a trash bag and come up with a name. That's literally like something you think, like, oh, it's a trash bag, like, who cares about? But you're like, okay, no, we're going to make this, like, all for moms or all for female entrepreneurs. It's pretty cool. And what are some brands you feel like we should study right now that are, like, on your mind, you think are, like, killing it? They could be new brands or, like, old brands that you think are good to look into.
I feel like this question is always hard because brands are so always evolving. Let me think. I mean, for me, I guess I would tell you one of my brands, right? Like, the Bakery Color. I feel like we are revolutionizing how women work together. I think oftentimes women, we work in a silo and we're just like, yeah, just give me my laptop. I'll just, you know, sit on my couch and I'll build out this multi-million-dollar brand. But I really truly believe that we are all the secret ingredient to another person's recipe. And without that secret ingredient, it's probably years. It will collapse decades in today's by just having this one person tell you, girl, your website could be doing this. Or, hey, just, you know, sometimes you can't see the picture when you're in it. So having that other person is like, oh, yeah, I know this. Or, oh, hey, I know how to fix this. Or, oh, I can help you with this. So the Bakery Co-work is a place where dreams are baked for women to literally come together and be the secret ingredient to each person's recipe. And on top of that, we have our co-working space, our podcast, offices, our event space, our photography studio, conference rooms, private offices, our cafe, and now we're launching a tech division of the bakery co-work as well to help people with networking, because I think that's one thing that I always struggle with is like sometimes I walk into the room and everybody knows me, and then other times I walk into the room and no one knows me, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm used to being the person that people come up to. Now how do I go to other people and introduce myself? So we're creating an app to solve that problem for female entrepreneurs. So I would say the bakery is a brand to watch. I also would say, honestly, I really love Skims. I love like Kim Kardashian's brand or Emma's brand. I really love how innovative they are with their marketing. Like, it's a very simple product. It's like, okay, it's shapewear. Okay, it's underwear. Okay, you know, but I love how they continuously innovate the marketplace with new ideas and new influencers and new concepts. Even though I may not love each and every product, but I love the rollout for each and every product. So, yeah.
It seems like you have, like, such a cool, like, co-working space.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm so excited for it to expand. We should be opening up our next location by the end of the year. So I'm super excited just to see it expand and grow.
That's awesome. And I'm curious, like, what's your process of, like, how are you able to, like, get into your customer's brain? Like, what's your process of figuring out exactly what they want, how to tell it to them, how to sell the product to them?
Yeah.
What's your thought process there?
Absolutely. So I always think, one, you have to have an identified brand persona, right? Like, who is this person that you are selling to? Like, you should know her name. You should know what music she's listening to. Where is she shopping? What blogs is she on? Who are the competitors that she's shopping with? Like if I'm creating a lip gloss line, is my competitor shopping at the dollar store for lip gloss? Or is my competitor buying cotton? Or is she buying MAC? Or is she buying Bobbi Brown? Or, you know, Maybelline? Like, is she shopping at the drugstore? Or is she only buying Chanel lip gloss, right? The girl that shops at the drugstore, which is like me, this drugstore lip gloss, is a different girl that shops at Chanel, right? So the quality of my packaging, if I'm trying to compete with the girl that is buying her Chanel lip gloss, the quality of my packaging, the simplicity, the flawless branding, visibility, right? Like, okay, is this going to be just everywhere? Can they just get it at any pop-up shop? Or am I going to be super selective with how I market this particular product to this girl? So really, truly understanding your girl. A lot of my businesses are based on me. Like, what did I need in my business as an entrepreneur? When I started my marketing agency, it was because I paid so many other marketers to market my business and no one ever did it right, right? And so when I created my marketing company, I'm like, what people struggle with most is finding a one-stop shop. That photographer, that videographer, that makeup artist, that graphic designer, that person that's the visionary for my business. All of that, I wanted to bundle it to where when my clients come to me, I'm not sending them off to, oh, find a graphic designer and find this person and find that person. Then when they go find all of their cousins that make all these designs and friends, and then they come back to me and the work is not good, I'm going to still equally be as frustrated because they're not going to get the end result because the person that they hired was subpar, right? So for me, it is truly about creating an experience that I love and that helps me as my biggest pain point, because then now I know 20 other girls that are like me, right? Now I know 2,000 other girls that are like me. So once you figure out, and it doesn't have to be you, I wouldn't tell people to make all of their businesses based on them. I remember when I started to be like in my 30s, I'm like, oh, I'm going to wear business suits because I want people to take me serious. And so I started to sell business suits at my retail store and they never sold. And I was like, I'm modeling them and I'm like looking all cool and I'm like trying to show them different ways. They're like, yeah, girl, we're going to the club. Like, I don't know what you're doing, but we are in Buckhead, Atlanta. And we are going to the club. We don't want to be wearing these business suits to the club. Find some dresses for us, right? We're having birthday parties. We're having engagement parties. And so I had to realize that the audience that was shopping at my store was not me anymore. Like, and I had to cater to that particular audience. So I would say focus group, survey your audience, really, really get to know. When they're coming in, you shouldn't just be like, oh, what are you shopping for? You should be like, oh, what's the last song that you listen to on the radio? Like, oh, hey, what motivates you to get out of bed? Oh, what? How did you find the party that you're going to on Friday? If they said, oh, I found it on a flyer in the bathroom at this particular event, then maybe you need to start to figure out, okay, well, who are the people that are going to this event? Because this particular customer came to my store to shop, and I'm sure that I can get more customers from this particular event. So really understanding your audience. Like, I know my girls. I know exactly how to talk to them. I know what songs to do. I know what reels is going to push them into what direction. Like, yeah, I know my girls.
I have a couple questions for you. One, if you could only give one dating tip about dating an entrepreneur, what would your one tip be?
Okay, so I will tell you what I did to attract my husband, I dated for who I was going to be, not for who I was. I think that is like my number one tip, because a lot of times we date in our brokenness. We date for the situation. Like, I could have dated when I met my husband. I had a little apartment. I had a little Hyundai. Like, I could have dated a guy that was just right there with me. Like, maybe he had a Hyundai too, and he had a little apartment too. And it's like, but I know, and not for the materialistic things, but I knew where I was going, right? And I knew that the red carpets, and I knew that the, you know, trying to sell my company and trying to go through all the things was going to require a different type of human being to be on my side, right? And so I dated for where I knew I was going, not for who I currently was. And I feel like that's why we're still together 11 years in. And honestly, I still see, like, me and my husband went on a date yesterday. I still get butterflies. Like, I'm still like, I'm not sure. You're amazing. Because I knew that I would become the person that this man needed, even though I felt like when I met him, he was way further than me, you know, in every aspect of life. But I knew that I was going to become the girl that could I match where he was, you know? And so for all of those that are like in their 20s, like dating all those guys is wild, that's throwing you to the side, that doesn't pick up the phone, that doesn't date you anymore, that's not understanding the value and the prize that he has, throw them away and find someone that is like far beyond your league and knows that, like, wow, I'm going to date for who I'm going to become. Think about all of the awards, the cars that you will drive, the things that you will have. And would you want that guy that's like chugging beer every night and like at the frat party? Would you want him in your Bentley, like on the way to your corporate meeting with your staff of 500 people? You wouldn't. So,
so powerful. I like that. And with all like the celebrities, you know, you've worked with, I'm curious if there's any like similarities between all of them. Like, is there anything that you notice like they have or anything they've done to really get to that level?
Yeah. I think that all the celebrities that I've worked with, they, one, are really, really busy people. So they value time way differently than most people. I learned a lot from working with my celebrity clients on how time is valued. That's so, so, so important.
So unfortunately, this recording got a bit cut off. So how you can go and find Miss Skittles online is her Instagram is Miss Skittles. That's MZSKITTLEZ on Instagram. She also has the Bakery Co-work, the Icing Agency, and Girl Mob on Instagram. And she has all the links there on her page. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. I would love if you would share it with a friend who you think could benefit from this episode, and see you soon.